Hello and welcome to the Dot Ball Cricket Podcast. This is the podcast that focuses on South African cricket, both domestically and internationally. And it's a very great pleasure for me to have with me once again Paul Harris, the former Proteas spinner. And we'll be discussing the Proteas ODI series in England that's coming up in a week's time. And we're also having a chat with Dean Elgar, the Proteas test captain, about the test series that will be played after the ODIs and the T20s in England. ODI series coming up. England, world champions, playing brave and bold cricket and playing at home. It's going to be a tough ask for the Proteas, isn't it?
It will. You know, if you'd asked me this question 6 weeks ago or 8 weeks ago, I might have sort of said it's a bit closer than I thought. But with the home conditions and the form of the English team, you would have at home, you'd have to think that they are favourites. Although, we've played some pretty good cricket in the last little while, and the team seems to be gelling well. It'd be interesting to see how Keshav goes as captain. I'm looking forward to seeing his, you know, how he can mix his game. He's done it before, but not as a rule. So it'd be interesting to see how he can sort of mix his game with the pressures of being captain. That is probably the most pressurized place in the world to go as a captain. You know, their press can be pretty ruthless. So you'll have to have always sort of A game there. I'm sure he will. But certainly going to be an exciting series, one where you're going to want to put your TV on.
Absolutely. You say the Proteas team has been doing well of late. They have. I guess the ODIs, though, is the one format where maybe they've lagged a little bit behind T20s and Test cricket. And South Africa are number one on the World Test Championship table as of today, actually, following Australia's loss to Sri Lanka. So that's great news. Paul, can you put your finger on why the ODI results haven't quite been as good as the T20 and Test results?
Well, it's a difficult one. I think maybe it's just that format that we haven't really focused on. I mean, I think there's been a huge focus on getting the Test side back to where they were a few years ago, and there's been obviously a huge emphasis because it's a T20 year, a World Cup year, that there's been a huge emphasis on that. And maybe the one format's just lacking a bit. We see the same thing with, you know, other sides. As soon as you don't put effort into the one format, it tends to, you know, lag a bit. I think our batting is a worry in ODI cricket. We haven't had the sort of big runs from big players that we've seen before. It's going to need some senior players to stand up, especially in those conditions. You know, I'd like to see a sort of breakthrough tour, although he's been good in white ball cricket, but for an Aiden Markram, we've all been waiting for that with bated breath. And David Miller has shown what he can do given an opportunity when he's in good form. So it's two good sides. I think that the home advantage depends on what wickets they produce. But the home advantage in the ODIs, I think, is with them and the form is with them. But we've got a really good squad of players. And if England aren't on top of their game, you know, we'll give them a smack.
Just following up from that, Keshav Maharaj, of course, captaining South Africa because Themba Bavuma is injured, having torn his elbow ligaments, which also creates a bit of a question mark, another question mark, I guess, in the batting. I think we can presume that Quinton de Kock and Yanneman Milan are going to open the batting, but there's a space there. Bavuma's space is up for grabs now. You mentioned Markram's on the tour. The other guys in the squad, like Reeza Hendricks, Kaya Zondo, Kyle Verena, Heinrich Klaassen, how do you think they're going to fill that Bavuma hole, Paul?
Look, I think you can go many ways. I mean, I'd like to see Aiden Markram coming in three. Just where I'd like to see a bat. I think he's, you know, he can sort of get himself in and then play his game. So I'd like to see him coming in three. I do agree with you. I think Quinton de Kock and Yanneman Milan will open the batting. And then sort of, you know, Heinrich Klaassen has played really, really well over the last little while. He had a great knock in India when we were under massive pressure, albeit in T20. So he's back in form. You know, Kaya Zondo has been in form, albeit in domestic cricket, for a couple of years. So he could also fit into that slot. Kyle Verena, you know, he's also done very well in white ball cricket over the years. He could slot in there even as just a batter. So there are options there for guys to slip in. You know, do they go and take a an out of the box sort of approach, and if they lose a wicket early, throw a Dwayne Pretorius in their three? I kind of liked it in the T20 stuff. I thought it gave us an extra edge, although it only worked really in one game. But I suppose if you're going to have one out of four where he comes off, it might be worth it. Thinking out the box, but I think that's a sort of a 10%er. There's the makings of a very good batting unit. It obviously isn't great losing Temba, especially in the 50-over format. He's been in really good form, understands his game, has a long time to bat and can bat through the innings and anchor the innings. So it's obviously a big loss, but that just gives opportunity to a couple of the fringe guys that aren't getting a lot of opportunities.
Yeah, I think you and I, Paul, would probably choose the same top six then, because I would go de Kock, Milan, Markram, because you want guys who can take advantage of the power play up front. Rassie van der Dussen at four as the kind of anchor, the kind of guy who can manipulate in the middle overs, you know, take the ones, and we all know how explosive he can be at the end. And then Miller and Klaassen to finish. Would you agree with that top six just to start off?
I think so. I think that there is a case to be made for Kai Zondo to be in the side as well. But I think that top six would be the one they would go with to start off with, certainly. And I think it's a very good batting lineup. I think if you can get two or three of those senior players to stand up and then the rest sort of bat around them, there could be a surprise in store for the English.
In terms of like-for-like replacements, is Kaya Zondo the sort of backup to Rassie van der Dussen? Do you see them as having similar sort of roles?
Sure, I think so. I think he's a number four, possibly a number five. But generally throughout his career, he's been batting sort of top of the order or up the order and done quite well in the last few years. I'd like to see him get a chance. Been in lots of squads, hasn't really got as many chances as I know he would have liked. But I'd like to see if we could, give Kai Zondo a bit of a go. Let's see how he reacts in a very high-pressure situation. As I mentioned, playing cricket in the UK, for some reason, the spotlight is on you more than anywhere else in the world. And they've got a very good team, so it'd be good to see how he goes. The good thing is there's some competition for places there, and there's a good nucleus of senior players.
Yeah, you mentioned Dwayne Pretorius. Do you feel the Proteas will play him and Andile Pekelekwayo or Marco Jansen? Do you think they'll go with two all-rounders, is what I'm asking, basically, at 7 and 8?
I wouldn't. Not in those conditions, or depends. I mean, if the conditions are overcast and swingy and rainy, you might get away with a Dwayne Pretorius and Andile Pekelekwayo playing in the same team with their bowling. But, you kind of want the pace of Heinrich Nukeer. You want Shamsi to play. Obviously, Kesh is going to play. He's the captain. And you want Lungi and Gidi to play. So you're going to have to, weigh that up. I would play one. I would play Dwayne Pretorius, and then I would play the seamers and the spinners. That's what I would do. I think that's our strongest team. Sort of guys that are hitting the deck. Lungi and Gidi with his slower balls. And he strikes up front. Heinrich Nukeer with that out and out pace, and then Dwayne Pretorius and your spinners. I think that's the sort of team I would go with. I don't see Andile Pekelekwayo doing one of those disciplines well enough in the last 2 years to warrant a place. I think Dwayne Pretorius sneaks ahead of him.
Kagiso Rabada, of course, is being rested for the ODI segment of the series. So Heinrich Nukeer very much leading the bowling attack. You've mentioned Lungi and Gidi, who's been very effective in white ball cricket recently. Marco Jansen, do you feel he could maybe sneak in just on the basis of his bowling? Because then, obviously, he could bat at. I mean, he's good enough to fill that position.
I think it all depends on the wickets and the conditions. I think that I would say that I think he's sort of, your top two seamers there in the white ball stuff would be Nukeer and Lungi and Gidi. You're most probably going to play two spinners most of the time in Shamsi and Kesh. So is there a spot? It'll be tough for him, I think, unless he can sort of bat seven and take Pretorius's role, although I think seven's maybe one too high for him. But look, it's great to have a backup bowler and a cricketer like him. Will there be a time? I think they'll probably mix and match a bit. I don't think the guys will play we might not stick to the same team for all the games. It's been sort of the modus operandi for the Chris Stafford cricket team for a while, which actually slightly irritates me. But they will mix and match, I think, with that bowling unit, with an eye on the T20 series and the test matches coming up.
Yeah, you mentioned what's happening after the ODI series, and Marco Jansen's not in the T20 squad. But do you feel there's an argument to not show him to England in the ODIs, to keep him as a surprise package for the test matches?
I don't know about that. I think that, in this day and age, the people have seen him, they've seen what he can do, maybe not faced him, but seen what he can do. I think that if the conditions are right, he'll play in the ODI side. If not, what a great weapon to have in store for the English when those test matches come. I think they would want to give him a game or two. He needs to play cricket as well. So I think he'll get a game or two just to make sure he's got some overs in his legs in the middle come the test series.
You touched on it earlier, Paul, the amazing brand of cricket that England have been playing, really ultra-aggressive. How do South Africa contain that, or should they just be trying to fight fire with fire?
No, I think that the two game plans are generally quite different. South African teams in general are sort of, they suck the life out of you. We we've got our strike bowlers, but very disciplined, bowling one side of the wicket, slowing the scoring rate. It'll depend on the wickets. I think the wickets will have a huge part to play. I mean, the English have chased down some totals on some, let's be honest, some feather beds. They're pretty good, about as good batting wickets as you're possibly going to imagine. I'm not going to say that the bowling units weren't good. They were very good. There was some exceptional batting, especially, Root and Bairstow were next level. But if there's a little bit in the wicket and you're going to play that brand of cricket, it is quite risky. I think you could see this inside bowled out for under 100 a couple of times. Or alternatively, they've been doing recently, is they could smoke chase down 350 and 50 overs and make you look a bit silly. So that brand of cricket, I think, is fraught with danger. It'll be interesting to see if they change their game plan. Their game plan's been perfect for the wickets they've played on. If the wicket has a bit more in it, will they change their game plan? Will they go slightly more circumspect? Will they absorb pressure? Or are they still going to come hard? Against our bowling unit, we've got pretty much all our bases covered. That might be slightly difficult. Teams have tried in the past to come at us and failed. We're very disciplined. We bowl one side of the wicket. We hit top of off. It's sort of drummed into us from 6 years old. So it's going to be one hell of a test series. I hope England keep playing the way they're playing. I don't see why they would stop. It's word for them. I want to see if they have the ability in their game to change if the conditions warrant it.
Yeah, the test series, I think we both agree, is going to be the highlight of this tour, what we're looking forward to the most. As I said earlier, South Africa now number one in the World Test Championship standings. And England, probably the form team in world cricket, having beaten the two finalists in the World Test Championship last year, New Zealand and India. I had the pleasure of actually chatting to Dean Elgar, Proteas Test captain, a couple of days ago on a phone call, and we asked him about Bazball, all the rage at the moment in cricket. Brendan McCullum, the new test coach for England. Their ODI coach is Matthew Mott, but it's a very similar brand of cricket they play. So I asked Dean about Bazball and what he's felt about England's performance in the last four tests and whether South Africa will be able to counter that.
Yeah, I think obviously quite brave. Brave to want to obviously try and define or change the way of playing the game. Very brave. I'm sure it's hit the cricketing world by quite a surprise to see how the last four tests have actually gone for them, especially the way they've chased on relatively batting-friendly wickets. It's been quite interesting to watch. I think the conditions were pretty much in their favour with regards to the ball not doing too much sideways movement. Mm-hmm. And obviously allowing their more aggressive batters to come in and basically play their natural game. And obviously it's paid off. So credit to them for taking that bold and brave option.
Yeah, you mentioned conditions. Obviously, the test matches are in August, later in summer. You must be hoping pitches go a bit up, or will be a bit more up and down by then, a bit drier. Bring your spinners into play?
Yeah, sure. I also think our seam bowlers obviously pose a lot more pace and bounce. I think we've got quite a few variations within our seam bowling attack, which we will be able to exploit those conditions if the wicket is to play up and down. So, yeah, it will be interesting to see what kind of wickets they prepare for our series, knowing that we do have the fast bowling arsenal that we have, and obviously backed up by two quality spinners if needs be that we play to. It will be interesting to see what kind of wickets they prepare, but if it's anything to go by the last month or so, I'm pretty sure the wickets will be pretty good for batting. And luckily we've got quite a bit of pace bowler. We've got quite a few pace bowlers going with us, and I'm pretty sure it's exciting. I can tell you I wouldn't like being the person facing our seam bowlers in any conditions.
I think when you first came into the Proteas team, it was during an era when a lot of teams tried to play very aggressively against us, but the Proteas game plan seemed very effective in actually closing down the game, actually almost capitalizing on over-aggression, if you like. Do you think that's a fair comment? And is that the sort of game plan? I mean, obviously everyone talks about aggressive, positive cricket and all the best, and you want to be positive, but there are times when that ability to actually strangle a team is so important, isn't it?
Yeah, obviously. I think the basics of test cricket is still fundamental for the game. Obviously, the patience factor is something that is one of our strengths, and it's been one of our assets of late. I think we've been able to really take the teams into the last day and strangle the life out of them, and obviously have results go our way. But in saying that, there's been a lot of graft behind the scenes with guys actually thinking and knowing about the game plan going forward. I think it could be such a false sense that we could be drawn into the way they playing and we forget about the way we play or the way we've actually been playing. And I think that would be a massive error for us going into the series, because I think we're going to be taking our strengths out of the whole game plan per se. Of late we've obviously had a lot of brilliant fast bowlers in the past that have gone to the UK and actually dominated there. And just looking at our fast bowlers that we have going there now, I'm still pretty excited about the feeling of the prospect, what they bring to the table.
Yeah, and if England try and nullify your fast bowlers, then they could play it to the hands of Kesh and Simon. So it's a really good position to be in. Yeah,
pretty happy.
England want you to get drawn into playing the same brand as them, don't they? England wants you to get drawn into trying to play aggressive, positive cricket as well, don't they? I mean, they want to...
I think the word aggression needs to be defined a little bit. I think the word positive is also something that you need to add a definition when it comes to style of play. You can still play the game with a positive mindset and have aggression at the forefront, but I think there's a savvy and a clever way of going about that, which I'm pretty sure as a leader I kind of know. And as time goes on, getting closer to the series, I'll redefine that. And I think there's definitely a way of putting a definition to positive and aggressive cricket. There will be times where we're going to have to counter that, and there will be times where we're going to have to absorb. And I think that's just the basic fundamentals of test cricket. The way England have played, it's definitely paid off now for them, but whether there's longevity in that going into our series, I'm not quite sure, and we're obviously going to have to wait to see if there is longevity in that style of play. But chance. It's been brave. It's been bold. That's been exciting. And I think they've added a bit of a extra energy towards Test cricket now, and our series coming up against them is going to be another exciting moment.
Indeed, yeah, Paul. So, Dalga, yourself and myself all very, very excited for the Test series to come. Paul, Dean is really stressing pace and hostility of our fast men. I still have an inkling that maybe in August, Simon Harmer and Keshav Maharaj might have a big role to play. But do you agree with them that our fast men are going to be the key?
Yes and no. Once again, it depends on the wickets. One thing we do have is we've got some fast bowlers that are very disciplined. You know, you've got two fast bowlers there, maybe even three, that are really quick, hit the deck hard, won't make it easy for the English. If there's anything in the wicket, they'll get it out of it. It's going to be a different kettle of fish for the English to face our fast bowlers, I think. And then we've got two of the best spinners in the world. You know, I see Simon Harmer's cleaning up again there in England. So, you know, there's no better, in my opinion, two spinners to have in your arsenal than those two in the world at the moment. So, I mean, it would be very, very difficult for Dean Alga to leave them out. Well, let's put it this way. Very difficult for him to leave Harmer out. You would imagine Kesh is playing. And very difficult to leave Harmer out with his form. You know, he knows the conditions incredibly well. I think it'll spin at the end of the year in England. You know, it's been quite a warm, from what I've heard, in their terms, summer. The weather's been decent. So I think your spinners are going to come into the game big time. So I think I'm sort of 80% there that we'll play two spinners, unless we get there and it's raining before a test match and it's really overcast and, you know, you're losing time and that sort of thing, then you might not. But I mean, the form of those two spinners, I mean, they probably are two trump cards, and I don't mean any disrespect to our fast bowlers. I mean, Rabada is, if not the best fast bowler in the world, very close to it, and Nokia coming back into the international fold, and you know, he bowls thunderbolts. So look, I mean, I can't wait to watch the test series. I mean, obviously the white ball stuff's going to be fun. But I'm with you guys. I think that the test series is going to be a fun one. I think that the guys are going to play in front of packed stadiums, which they haven't had for a while. You know, those English stadiums sell out very quickly, and they're very passionate about the game. And, you know, you want to go to England. And the last few times we've gone to England in a test series, we've given the Poms something to think about. So hopefully we can carry on doing that.
Lords, Old Trafford and the Oval are the three venues for those test matches, so three great stadiums as well that the Proteas will be playing in. Paul, you did touch on it earlier, but how important is it for the test side not to get sucked into playing the way England want to play?
Oh, look, I think we've got our brand of cricket. We must stick to it. There's going to be a lot of hype. Like I said, I mean, look, I feel, in a way, I feel a bit sorry for Brendan McCullum, because there will be a time when this will come crashing down, mark my words. There will be a day or two where they won't get this right, and the English press love to build you up to break you down, so that's what they do. So, you know, I'm sure he's aware of it. He's been around the block, and that's why I say it'll be interesting to see if the conditions don't suit that style, whether they have the ability to be able to play a different style of cricket. That's sort of the area where English cricket, especially in Test cricket, have been found out when the ball's spinning quite a bit. They tend to get bowled out, they tend to collapse. And when the ball's sort of moving around quite a bit, they tend to collapse. Where it's flat, they've been superb. So it's going to be interesting to see if they can play a different game, and if their coach, which is a very good coach by all accounts, has the sort of ability to say to them, right, guys, you know, this particular session or this first two sessions, we're going to have to play a different brand, soak some pressure up, and then sort of in the last session have a crack.
Great. Paul, would you like to give us your predictions for the three series, the ODI, T20, and the Test?
Sure, it's a tough one. I think that the English will win the ODIs. I hope I'm wrong, but I think they'll win the ODIs. I think the T20s are going to be very close. I think we will sneak the T20s. The Test matches, I've got a funny feeling we're going to surprise the English in the Test series, and I think it's going to be very close. Though I don't think that there's going to be a draw unless there's rain about. I think that with the style and the brand of cricket that both teams play, I don't think we're going to see a non-result. So, look, I'm on the fence a bit in the test scenario, but let me go with my heart and let's say that South Africa win 2-1.
Great. And, Paul, just to end off, that grumpy bugger, Jimmy Anderson, I mean, he's one of your favourite cricketers, I've got no doubt. What's your favourite Jimmy Anderson story from when you two have crossed swords?
The amazing thing about Jimmy is it actually looks like he hates bowling when he bowls. It looks like he's always grumpy and he wants to kick the floor. But then you got him off the field and he's actually a remarkably nice guy. So, you know, he's two different types of people. I mean, he's almost 40, or is he 40? And he's still bowling. So, I mean, I understand why he's grumpy. I bowled 10 overs on Saturday with my son and I literally could hardly walk yesterday and the day before. So, I cannot believe he's still bowling the way he's bowling. I mean, it's just incredible that his body's been able to hold out for as long as it has. Great for some of our young guys to face him. He's the premier sort of fast bowler over the last little while. I mean, and there's always been comparisons between him and Dale Steyn. I don't think you compare them. They're two different bowlers. But sort of from a longevity point of view, I mean, there just hasn't been anyone like it. So, you know, I've got a huge amount of respect for Jimmy. I don't mind his antics in the field. I think that he's an out-and-out competitor. He's been doing this for so long and knows his game. From time to time in Test cricket, you're going to get grumpy and you're going to shout at somebody. It is what it is. Him and his partner in crime, Broad, he also gets himself in trouble from time to time. I like the way they play their cricket. They're competitors. They don't back down. And, when the game's on the line, they're often there for their country. So I don't think we'll see them for much longer, the two of them together. So I think enjoy it while we can. And, I hope they don't do too well. But if two bowlers have to do well, then I would like it to be them.
Absolutely. Wise words, Paul Harris. And, it's going to be, I think, just a wonderful couple of months. Really competitive cricket. I don't think either side's going to back down at all. With Ben Stokes as England captain and Dean Elgar as the Proteas Test captain. Excited to see how Maharaj and David Miller go in their respective captaincy gig. So it's going to be a feast of cricket, and we'll chat to you again once the ODI series finishes on July 24th. Don't forget that you can subscribe and also follow us on Twitter at the Dotball Podcast. We'd love to hear from you and anything you'd like us to discuss on future podcasts. Thanks very much for listening. Thanks very much to you, Paul Harris, for your wonderful input as ever, and to Dean Elgar for his time as well. Goodbye until we chat again.